This project is, this paper concerns an expansion on a master's thesis done under my supervision by Kelly Felderhoff, the second one listed here, who is now working on her PhD at North Carolina State on a completely different subject. This genus, Pogonornithellus, is the most common genus of Thomaseraid Columbella in North America. And what drew our attention to it was that there is a tremendous amount of variation that's been described in the literature. In fact, in 1964, which was the last time this genus was really studied, the author of that, Ken Christensen, who's kind of the old guru of Columbella in North America, simply considered that a lot of these species were, he called them either species complexes or complex species, which doesn't help very much in determining exactly what you have. And as we looked at the descriptions that he presented in the Columbella North America, north of Rio Grande, and specimens we were getting, it was obvious that the situation was much more diverse, much more complex than what he had imagined. And with examining new characters and also with the introduction of the ability to do some molecular work, we were able to start teasing out this genus. This is by no means complete. We have worked primarily in the southeastern U.S. and southern Appalachians, but there are new species, we have new species, undescribed species from Quebec, Alaska, down the Pacific Northwest. I was just out collecting yesterday with Moulton, who does molecular work. We collected them all over the place up in the high mountains here, so there's a lot more to come with this genus. But for now, I want to show you what we've found so far and how we are managing to tease out the species that actually belong in this group. One of the very interesting things about these Columbella that have not been described very much is the presence of their scales on their bodies. Thomaseraid Columbella are covered with scales. These are quite similar to butterfly scales, although they're often not quite as they don't reflect all the same colors that butterflies do. But if you look over here, you'll see six different species, all of which are quite distinctive in the patterns of their scales. And these scales disappear when you collect specimens into alcohol. Most of them just fall off. So our goal has been to start with live specimens. I'll get to our sequence of what we do with those in a minute. Here's what the family looks like worldwide. There are two subfamilies, one of which is Gondwanan, so we're ignoring that one for now. They're mostly collected in places they're hard to get to, except for Australia. In the Laurasian Thomaseraceae, though, consists of 9 genera and 110 species, and one of the genera in there, Pogonornithellus. These can get pretty large, up to 5 millimeters in body length, and if you add in their antennae, which can get longer than the body, some of the species we have, especially up in the northeastern part of North America, can get up to 10 millimeters long if you include their antennae. So we're talking about pretty big Columbella and actually decent-sized hexapods. The original character used to separate Pogonornithellus from other Thomaserids was the presence of a beard-like apparatus on the fifth maxillary lamella. I'll show you a picture of that in a minute. Borner described this as a genus, as a different name that actually was already used for a mollusk. So Pockel had a shortest paper I've ever seen, 3 lines, changing the name. And then Christensen, 1964, noted this other character, a basal scale-like spine on the dens. The dens is the furcula of a springtail. You recall, most springtails have a furcula for jumping, and that furcula has a basal part, and then it has 2 prongs coming off it. And those prongs are forks, or are the dentes, or dens singular. The current roundup of these, 9 species, 3 of them are Eurasian, and 5 are North American. One is considered Holarctic, and that's Flavescens. However, this is where the entire thing begins to break down in this idea that this is a Holarctic species. And just to give you a jump on what I'll say later, Christensen considered the Flavescens occurs all over North America, and it's our opinion that Flavescens occurs nowhere in North America. All right, so back to scale pattern. We have, this is Elongatus up here, and this is a species we'll be describing called Mystax. That have very, very pretty scale patterns. You see, this one's just really gorgeous. Easy to spot crawling up a blade of grass in a wet area in the Smokies somewhere. But when the scales fall off, you have a completely different aspect. Here, Alan Gatiss has just a couple of purple bands that help us to locate it. And Mystax has a purple band on its leg. But otherwise, they're a lot less attractive when all their scales have fallen off. But these are still characters we can use. The pattern of the scales, the cuticular color, and any cuticular coloration that occurs. So onto the two characters that have been used to define this genus. Here's the maxillary beard. Here's the maxillary lamella 5 on a species that doesn't have a beard. And this is what we found out when we started dissecting these out, is that only a very few species have this beard. Well, here's the beard. It shows up a little better on here. Here's that lamella. It has a lot of long teeth, and then there's a long kind of beard-like thing extending down. This character right here, you'll see on future slides, that means, if you see that, it means it has a beard, okay? Rather than me just pointing it out. So if you see that little guy, that's a beard. You see these other species here do not have beards. Here's a new species from New York that lacks a beard. Other characters that we found, these have all been mentioned in the literature at one time or another on one species or another, but have never been systematically studied across the entire genus. We have tibiotarsal spines on all the legs in one of the two major groups of Pogonognathellus. And in the other group, there are spines only on the metatibiotarsi. I'll show these groups in a tree here in a minute. The basal dental spines, here are the two forks. There's a weird kind of scale that occurs on the interior side. And in this group that has spines on all the legs, it also has these broad scale-like spines on the dentes. But in this other group, the scales are more narrow. Then on the furcula, the jumping part, on this group that has spines in this thing, it has these very distinctive brown, blunt spines, six of them, on the furcula. I've indicated four of them with yellow arrows. But on this other group here, those spine-like seed are absent. Now, if we turn to the problem taxa for just a moment, Christensen basically had three species groups that are in contention. One is what we'll call the Elongatus species group, and we've resolved that one fairly easily, and you'll see that in a minute. The Flavescens group, though, is a big mess. This is a European species described long ago in Europe. The name has been applied to the vast majority of this genus in North America. There are numerous North American synonyms, but they differ. All of ours differ strikingly from Sweden's, from the Sweden specimens we've looked at, which are the type locality, and on and on. And dubious is another one that we haven't challenged yet. So what we do is we collect these live, let them molt, take a photograph, then kill them in alcohol, take a picture of them with their scales off, mount them up, mount their appendages up, and give the body to Moulton for molecular analysis. And this is what we have. This shows all the specimens we've looked at so far. There are two major groups. This is the so-called Elongatus group with spines on all the legs, and this is the so-called Flavescens group without those spines. We also have a third coordinate group here. This is Bidentatus, which is a very unusual basal species. These are the outgroups here. When we look at these two groups together separately, this is the one with spines on all the legs. We've resuscitated this species from synonymy. This is a new one that occurs in the Appalachians. And then we also have these two from Sweden and Elongatus, which was described in 1951. The outgroups are Haarlemmilsia oculata, which is in the sister family Oncopoduridae, and then another member of another genus in Thomaserids, Thomaserus minor. Only three of those have beards, so that character is out as a unifying character. The Pogonothels with spines only on the metatibiotarsi are a mess. The Flavescens like are ones that have brownish, reddish, or yellowish bodies, and the dubious ones are the ones that have silvery or grayish bodies. And we are unable so far to place names on most of these, except for those that we've been able to segregate as new species, Mystax and Danieli. And even in this case, this one segregates out according to geographical location and elevation. So we're still working a lot on this group and collect a lot more specimens. I typed this out as what future work would be, and then I realized it all involves collecting, so it's collecting everywhere. I won't go into that anymore. So, but we do have to collect in a lot more areas, including across the continent, in order to get a good picture of Pogonomethylus and be able to identify species reliably. So, questions, anybody?
So is the scale loss a handling issue? Can you be really gentle with them?
We thought about the question is this a handling issue? We've actually thought about maybe freeze drying these and seeing if we can preserve the scale patterns. And that's something that one of my colleagues wants to try, but we just haven't done it yet. Yes, sir. They're most of the time actually pretty docile. We put them in small containers and allow them feed them until they molt, and they usually molt within 2 or 3 days of collection. And they're pretty docile even with light shining on them. And so we can get close-up pictures of them pretty reliably. A few species like dubious types run around too much. So what I do is put a couple drops of alcohol in their container, put the lid back on, and wait a few minutes, and they kind of die in place, you know, running. We have a couple that look like they just, you know, came to a dead stop. So we're getting kind of a live action shot of a dead springtail. And then we take a picture of that, just take them out and put them in alcohol. I'm sorry?
Do you find any structural characters in the scales if you look at SEM, for example?
We haven't looked extensively at the scales, but what we've seen is that they don't appear to have any difference. The scales have cross-hatched, a cross-hatched pattern. It seems pretty common among all the species.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.